This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Real quick, I just want to clarify something. Like, I don't hate Dolphins. I don't have any beef with Dolphins. I don't wish any harm on Dolphins. I'm just not going through 5 years of discomfort to save any animal species. And I don't know, regardless of how that makes me look. But end of the day, when would it ever come down to that, people? Like, never. So, chill.
What is TWS podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When's ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
The gold all froze if I'm a purchase bling. Just so you know, not a soul walking the earth is mean. Bow before the king, kiss the goat, all purpose ring. While the guard poses like a bow soldier versus meme. Y'all with all the jokes, laugh hard, but y'all ridiculous. I'm with all the smoke, Matt Barr, Shikari Richardson. Proving rap pays through the race cachet. I'm the dude who they threw the case at like 8-track tapes. Blue A-stacks and Peter Lugas till it's your faith at stake. Who weighs at the Louis haters through the new Maybach drapes. We gon' do this for Kanye.
That boy Royce. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I have to thank you first and foremost for tuning in, spending a little time with me, letting me talk through some things, whatever it is we do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I greatly appreciate you for that. So thank you. I started out with that clip because I guess I'm coming to the realization that this is real. Like these past couple of years have just been like a continuous streak of like, is this shit really happening? And like every time it is actually happening, and this is not on as catastrophic a scale as all the other stuff has been, but it looks like Royce and Lupe are battling or beefing, whatever it is. It's crazy. And as sad as I am to see it happening, like I really didn't want to see those two individuals have any sort of like personal issues, and I'm not even sure if that's the case right now. I don't know if they're just trolling us or just having fun for the sake of the culture, but we definitely getting bars. They both dropped diss tracks, and crazy. I don't know. I don't really want to get into a commentary on the battle. I think I lose a piece of my audience with that. Y'all don't want to hear me nerd out into what I think about rap beefs, but A lot of bars. I don't know. Is the Shikari Richardson bar too soon? That whole, what'd he say? Y'all with all the jokes, laugh hard, but y'all ridiculous. I'm with all the smoke, Matt Barnes, Shikari Richardson. Like that. It's a bar. It's a hell of a bar. I'm wondering if it's too soon. Nah, but no. Royce don't apologize for shit. More power to him. And then at the very end of that verse, he mentioned the individual that I'll probably be talking about for the rest of the episode. But we'll get to that in a moment. Chef Elise updates, you know, this is my off week, so I didn't have her this week. So not a whole lot to report on that. I think I've told y'all in the past, like she's been on this super like spider kick and like she's really, you know, getting into the whole idea of like spiders are the good bugs because they handle all the bugs you don't like and they're not dangerous. Like somebody really has been beating into her head, like spiders are cool or something. I don't know. And I tried to leverage that a little bit into something like cultural and educational. So I started buying books, Anansi books, the Ashanti trickster god, and you know, the whole African folklore kind of thing. And she digs them. Like she's really into them. We read this one particular one all the time. And right now I'm drawing a complete blank about what it's about. But at the end of the day, like the story is like how the moon got in the sky and it got something to do with Anansi the spider. And so, yeah, I bought her a couple more books this past week. And so I'm looking forward to our visit this weekend so we can sit down and like veg out on some Anansi. But it's one of those like proud dad moments where I like tapped into something that she's actually interested in and that like, you know, I don't know, slyly teaching like a cultural lesson. Or her something about her, like her history, or you know, I don't know. I'm not like the super pro black dude, but this feels good to be doing this. So yeah, that's dope. Cause I've had some misses. I missed completely. Like a super whiff. 2 weeks ago, I went with her. I told you I took her to the movies, and after the movie, I was proud of myself because we walking through the mall, and I saw a store called Eclectic Electronics or something, and it was like the two words that would best describe me or something. And I just was like, man, perfect store. So after I took her to the toy store, I was headed there. Like, we're gonna stop in here for a minute, and Dad is gonna treat himself to something. And it just so happens that directly next to Eclectic Electronics or whatever like it was called, went to Children's Place, a children's clothing store. And, you know, school is getting ready to start up. She needs new school clothes. So, you know, the dad in me was able to say, you don't really need no more dumbass gadgets. Let's take her in there and, you know, let's see what we can get, you know, for the kid for school. And I purchased a couple of things. I think I made some good purchases. She got herself a little hair bow with flowers and stuff that I think she likes. And I got her a dress that I'm excited to see her wear. And some other stuff. And then I went off the script. I went off the playbook. Like I didn't involve her in one particular purchase. I saw a shirt. I thought it was dope. I thought it connected with things that she and I have done in the past. And so I bought it. And the next day, you know, when she was headed home, to see mom, and I figured I would, you know, see if she wanted to rock the shirt. And I bought her this shirt that was like Ninja Masters or something. But it was a T-Rex, like dressed up like a ninja doing karate. And I was like, man, you want to wear this? And she was like, Dad, don't you know I don't like dinosaurs or ninjas? And I was like, damn, on both? Like, I struck out on both? Like, neither one resonates with you? Yeah, so I guess that was just good to see the Anansi one hit, because I have definitely had some misses. And I remember showing the shirt or telling, you know, her mother about the shirt. And she was like, well, is it a boy or girl shirt? And I was like, I thought I was being, like, progressive and new age. Like, it ain't no boy shirts and girl shirts and all that kind of stuff. Like, I was like, what difference does it make? It's a shirt. But obviously, it still makes a difference. And I don't know if I'm, like, proud of that my daughter feels like a girly girl and she hasn't, like she just does whatever. Or if I'm, like, something may be wrong, maybe we pushing her too hard to a certain direction, but whatever. I'm going down a whole parenting rabbit hole that we can do another episode on. I could talk to some other people that are parents, but yeah, that's that. So getting into what I wanted to talk about today, and I don't want to talk about today because I don't want to talk about this dude no more, but I feel like I got to. I want to talk a little about Kanye West. I don't mean this to be like, you know, some sort of critique on Kanye West or some sort of critique on society and their approach to Kanye West. It's really more of a curiosity. Like, I definitely feel like I don't understand the way culture works and the way things work now and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable and, you know, who gets canceled, who don't get canceled. Like, I feel like I don't understand. I feel like every time I am starting to grasp the concept of what qualifies for what, like something comes and it don't fit the mold, like it don't fit the pattern. And this is one of those situations that feels like doesn't fit the pattern. So I just wanted to go through the way I see it in my head and like maybe I'm just going to talk through it. You know, my opinion may change by the end of the episode. But I wanted to talk about him. Like, I didn't even realize the Donda album was coming. Like, I caught that till at the very end in this whole like listening party situation that he recently had in Atlanta. But the original thing that made me want to talk about Ye was, again, I'm a huge fan of the Midnight Miracles podcast. And if you don't know what that is, it's a podcast with Dave Chappelle, Yasiin Bey, and Talib Kweli. And they have all kinds of other, you know, cool guests on there. Jon Stewart been on there, Questlove's on there, David Letterman's been on there, just dope people. So they did an episode not too long ago about Candace Owens. Well, it started out with Dave asking the, you know, guy's public court of opinion, like whether or not he owed Candace Owens an apology. And it was whether or not he owed her an apology for his comments about It was something along the punchline was something along the lines of not caring if George Floyd kicked her in her stanky pussy. And I hate that word. Like, that's another episode. Like, I hate saying that word. So I'm gonna try to avoid it. I might just say P word or something like that from now on. But yeah, that was the conversation. So, and it got into like, who is Candace Owens and the history of Candace Owens. It's a pretty, you know, funny bit where Talib Kweli runs down like the history of Candace Owens, and Dave Chappelle starts it out like, this will be fair, because clearly, you know, there's some bias there. But it's hard to be like biased about her story. You know, facts are facts. It is what it is. And I feel like we all, like, there's, you know, there's a collective or a mass sort of understanding of who Candace Owens is and our feelings toward Candace Owens. I feel like she's one of those people that, you know, the majority of us don't agree with or maybe see her in a certain light. And if you are exposed to Candace Owens, in my mind, it's in one of two ways. Like, either she is somebody that you agree with and that's why you're listening to her, or she's somebody that you've come to understand you don't agree with and you just want to enjoy the show or just like listening to shit that pisses you off so you can complain about it or whatever. Like, I've stopped paying attention to Candace Owens a while back because I just, like I said, I don't do the, hey man, this stinks, smell it. Like, that's not me. So once I catch a whiff that something is not, you know, something's going to piss me off, something's going to anger me, I have no interest in going down that rabbit hole. Occasionally I listen to something so I can understand the argument or even see if there's any validity in the argument. I do like to check my logic from time to time. But I've reached a point with Candace Owens that I realized that these aren't logical arguments. This is a show for the sake of a show. You know, she knows who her audience is and she panders to that audience and she says whatever she feels is going to garner her the most attention, be it positive or negative. But that's neither here nor there. I just feel like we know where we stand on Candace Owens, and nobody really crosses that fence. Like, nobody really doesn't like her and then listens to her and is convinced to like her or vice versa. That doesn't happen. One of the interesting things that came up in talking about the history of Candace Owens is like defining the moment where she became a figure on like the national stage. And one of the defining moments for her, in Talib's opinion, and I don't know enough about her history to really say yay or nay to this, no pun intended, but it was Kanye tweeting about her. And Kanye tweeting, I like the way Candace Owens stinks. And it's like, you know, him, and I said thinks, not stinks. I heard the stinks in the headphones. So I wanted to clarify that. I didn't want to go down that whole P word thing again. But yes, and it's like that was the moment where people who would have normally never been in an arena to be exposed to Candace Owens were now all of a sudden like, well, who the fuck is Candace Owens? Let me go find out about Candace Owens. Let me go listen to what she has to say. I realize I'm doing it, but Yassine in the Midnight Miracles episode was like, he doesn't even like saying certain people's names because he feels like it gives him unnecessary attention, like the Beetlejuice thing, like Candace Owens, Candace Owens, Candace Owens. I said her name too many times this episode, but yeah, it was one of the landmarks in like her emergence into the public eye was Kanye tweeting about her positively, and Talib mentions like having conversations with him and kind of telling her like, you need to be careful about this chick, you know, like, you know, she's attacked him in the past and they had, you know, some things, and like he felt like he had an understanding a little bit of her politics or the way that she goes about her political messages, and was trying to, you know, warn Kanye about associating with that. And, you know, yay is yay. So he did what he wanted to do anyway. And they eventually had a falling out, and it was not on some political shit. It was that, like, I don't know, she put his name, she involved his name in like a logo or something for something that she was working on, and he didn't want to be associated with that. And that's when he got pissed and like backed away from the relationship between the two of them. But I bring that up to say, like again, she's a polarizing figure. You know, you stand on one side or the other, typically we're heard, and people don't cross the fence. And I think the majority of us on the side that's like, she full of shit, she a clown, you know, I think Yasin coined it best, coon bunny. For some reason, I had no problem with that word, but the other one. But yeah, like, I think most of us see it that way. And if we listen to Candace Owens or we watch an interview of hers, it's to kind of marvel at the idiocy. But for some reason, like, I feel like we give Kanye a super pass. Like, he openly admitted to kind of agreeing with her train of thought. He gave her sort of a public eye. And then the things that he's doing and the things that he said, like, back that up. That presidential run, you know, his statements on slavery and things like that. And I know we give him passes because of the mental health thing, but it's really a problem. If we feel like he's mentally unstable and mentally unstable enough to say some of the things he said, and the only reason we'll excuse it is because he's mentally unstable, then when you have a person that mentally unstable, and when they enter into one of their zones, they have the resources to do something like run for president. That's a fucking dangerous situation, and we need to do something about that. You shouldn't have a mentally unstable person that on a whim can run for president. That's not good situation. That's where we are with him. I look at I was listening to a part of the interview he did with the Breakfast Club, you know, about like the fashion industry and stuff like that. And him trying to infiltrate the fashion industry. And it just sounded like a bunch of just circle talk. And like, I was like losing my ability to follow his argument. And I consider myself a fairly intelligent person, but I feel like we got this emperor's clothes thing with Kanye, where if he says something like just insanely stupid or just nonsensical or just doesn't really have a clear meaning to it, like, we'll do the work, we'll do the mental gymnastics for him, you know, to make it make sense, because we just believe that for some reason, like, you know, it had to. He's such a genius that if we don't understand it, is something lacking in us. It's not that the message was bullshit. And I don't quite understand the thing with him. I've seen so many people get canceled, because I thought about the talent trumping morals kind of argument. You know, back when me and Rich used to do the show, we did a whole episode on talent trumping morals, and talking about Bill Cosby and talking about Michael Jackson and a few other situations where it seemed like, you know, some people in these situations would get canceled, and we get canceled to the point that you could never ever again enjoy their art because of what they had done. And it seems like certain people, you know, get a pass there because of, you know, their level of talent. And but I'm seeing that doesn't always apply, or that it doesn't apply across the board. So I'm trying to understand, like, where the lines are, what's the reasoning behind this. Like, I've seen people, the whole Nate Parker thing, you know, it still kind of bothers me. And I don't want to speak on whether or not he did the things he was accused of doing. He was acquitted, you know, he didn't get convicted of those charges. But then that was several years ago. And then he's gone on to, you know, have a body of work and is doing things that are impactful for us. But because of that, we've decided we can't ever even entertain the thought of supporting him. And I feel like the things that he was accused of doing, one, there should be a path forward for atonement. There should be some way to come back from that kind of stuff, especially if it happened that early in life. Like, a young person should be given the opportunity to make an egregious mistake and then find a way back into social good graces at some point. So either we got to offer people that kind of a package of this is what you can do to get back on board, or we just got to, like, forgive people or separate a mistake you made several years ago from good work you're doing now, or separate the art from the person completely. But I just, I don't understand how it works. Like, you know, he did the Kanye just had this album listening party where at the football stadium in Atlanta. They made it Kanye West Day in Atlanta. I didn't know he was born in Atlanta, but they made it Kanye West Day. And just to me, like I loved Kanye West, and I think two episodes ago talked about like how Gone is a masterclass in to me in like hip hop composition and the theme and variation that goes on in that song. To me, was groundbreaking. Nobody in terms of beat making was doing that kind of stuff until Ye came around. So I understand his artistic. I don't want to call it genius. I think we throw that word around too much, but I understand the merits of his art and how extremely talented he is. But, you know, when I look at that presidential run, when I look at the slavery was a choice comments, when I look at, you know, these, all right, adults, last week I asked y'all to admit that alcohol was disgusting and we know why we drink it. So stop talking to me about, you know, all the delicious flavors that you get when you drinking a bottle of water aged in a burnt barrel. This week, like, can we please? The fucking shoes is atrocious. They're ugly. They're ugly as fuck. Like, it's almost, they so ugly that it's intentional. It's got to be intentional. It has to be, I'm going to make something that should be so visually off-putting that you have to, I don't know, you're going to embrace it out of fear of not being able to admit that you see the artistic value in it. The fucking shoes is ugly. They ugly. And I was looking up something today earlier on like the cost of production and, you know, and what shoe companies normally get, you know, per shoe, how much it costs them to make a shoe, the profit they make off a shoe versus the profit that retailers make off a shoe. And I looked at like the price of Yeezys and you know, Adidas normal bottom line. And the numbers don't make sense. The numbers don't make sense when you're talking about a person, you know, that will have conversations with you like he did on the Breakfast Club about how Balenciaga or whatever, you know, is twisting the industry to force you, to try to get you, entice you to buy these expensive products that aren't really worth it. And they kind of trying to hold a monopoly on that. It seems like he's trying to get in. He's trying to replace the bad guy. Like, he's telling you how bad they are. Don't buy their stuff. But it sounds like they only bad because they won't let him do it too. And so now he's just trying to find a way that he can do it too and he can get that money. But it's at the cost of who? That presidential run was at the cost of who? He's a genius, right? So he knew you can't last minute enter a presidential election and expect to defeat the incumbent president, you know, more or less a popular challenger. So he knew he stood no chance of winning that election. He knew that his running and him trying to garner votes and however many states he was able to get on the ballot was just pulling vote. Was nobody not voting for Trump to vote for Kanye. He knew exactly where those votes were coming from. He had to. I believe if he's the genius that we say he is, he had to know. So there's only one thing I can attribute that plan to. And that to me is deceitful, and I don't know, it's like that to me is an unforgivable sin, especially if you can't come to the table later on and say, hey, I fucked up, I was wrong, I shouldn't have did this, this was wrong, I apologize, you know, here's what I'm going to do to atone for. I give you a path toward atonement, but you gotta admit you was wrong in the first place. How do you even start a conversation with somebody who don't even see the wrong in what they did? But, you know, we're doing these mental gymnastics to make it make sense. Like, he has this far-reaching plan that we don't understand because he's so fucking brilliant. But I tell you this, like, I read Anthony Bourdain's book, Kitchen Nightmares, and he warns about if you go to a restaurant and anything in the front of the house is dirty or not taken care of properly, if it's a stain on the carpet, if it's dusty in there, stains on a tablecloth or chipped stuff or the silverware don't look clean, like, leave immediately. Because if they don't care about what you can see, if they don't care about the condition of what you can see, you need to be gravely afraid of what's back there that you can't see. And so to me, if I got this person who's putting to me, what looks, what, like, the logic on the front face and stuff doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And you're not really offering me much other than, well, behind the curtain, it's going to all make sense. I don't know. I need more. I need at least that person to come across as genuine and sincere. And I don't get that from Kanye. I don't get that. I saw Kev on stage posted something. A bunch of people posted, but I saw it from Kev on stage. The concession prices for this little listening party, the chicken tenders were like $50 to sit in the stadium and listen to his new album. You know, and if you wanted some chicken tenders, they was $50. I ain't fuck out of here. Like, are these Yeezy tenders or something? Are they incredibly ugly too, but they artistic? Like, chicken tenders, $50. And these are your folks. You in Atlanta. You know the people that came out to see you. They came out to listen to your album. They sitting in this stadium just to hear your album through some stadium speakers. You know? And you charging them $50 for chicken tenders? And whether or not you made that decision or not, this is your event. It got your name on it. They came to see you. If you didn't know it was happening, you know it happened now. You should say something about it. You should atone for it, but we keep giving the pass. Like, I can't listen. I want to listen to this. I want to listen to this album only because there's a Jay-Z, Kanye reunion song on it. And that has my attention. But I can't. I cannot. And I know it'll probably get through to me somehow, and I'm dreading it. But I can't. Like, I can't get on board with this. I cannot continue to ride with this person. And I don't want to do this because, you know, he's a member of the culture. He's a member of the music I love. He's an integral part of, you know, some of my fond memories, you know, from years past. He's an amazing artist, and he's a black man. And I don't want to feel this way about him, but he's not giving me a whole lot of wiggle room. And I really don't understand how we just keep pretending like it's all okay. I was even kind of upset at Dave and Yasin and Talib for their discussion on Candace Owens and kind of grazing past Kanye West's involvement in it. Because Candace Owens, like I said, is not as... I don't worry so much about what Candace Owens does. Because like I said, she, in my mind, she's polarizing. And she's not pulling anybody from one side to the other. There's nobody who disagrees with her that listens to her and then says, oh yeah, what she said makes sense. I'm going to go ride with that. That is not happening. But in the case of Kanye West, he can take someone who either didn't have an opinion or felt one way about it. And he, because of his label of a genius and because of his place in our culture and because of, you know, who he is or what he's done, he can shift. He can shift votes over to the other side. He can shift perspective over to the other side. People will follow him. And so I give him way more responsibility when it comes to what he says and does publicly than I do other people. And if it's a mental illness issue, then it needs to be addressed. We as a community need to get together and figure out a way to get Kanye West some help. And I guarantee you one of the ways you get his attention is with your dollars. But we still talking about this album like we can't wait. And I want the music, but I can't. I can't. I refuse. Y'all know I love music. You know I do. And I can't. I can't do this one. I can't. And I just need somebody to help me understand why it's okay. Like, why we I have seen campaigns to cancel people over the craziest shit. They trying to go back. The millennials was up in arms about what was it? The blackface thing in Tropic Thunder. And that shit was fucking hilarious. You know? I've seen us get up in arms over trivial shit and pass judgment before we know the whole story and be quick to run and jump on something. How many more things got to happen? How many more things got to be said? Are we not looking at what's happening? Am I missing something? If I am, let me know. And this is not, I sound upset and like I'm preaching, and that's not the intent of this. I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to feel any negative feelings about Kanye West. I don't, but I do. And I feel like it needs to be. This is the discussion we need to have. I sat there and listened to that podcast and what they had to say about Candace Owens and, you know, her stanky P word. I just needed to throw that in for whatever reason. And it made sense. And, you know, and what Candace Owens does is reprehensible in my mind. And if you agree with her, I don't understand how you can. But if we feel that way about her, why is it okay for Kanye? Yeah, why is it okay for Kanye? Kanye is way more influential in the circles I run in than Candace Owens is. I'm way more concerned with what he says and what he does than what Candace Owens says. I got to go look. I got to go want to hear what she has to say. Like I said, this Kanye album is going to get through to me whether I like it or not. And I'm trying to avoid it purposefully. So I don't know. That's all I got. I appreciate Drea from the Drea's point of view. She sent me the info on the Kanye West Day in Atlanta. In Atlanta of all places. Like, but you know. Anyway, I know I guess he was born there or whatever. Do he have a Chicago day? Probably. Yeah, that's a rabbit hole I'm not gonna go down. But yeah, I appreciate you for because I didn't know that side of the story. I really wanted to talk about him just based off the Midnight Miracles, Candace Owens discussion, and then the whole Donda thing. I saw people like, man, what if we turn on Donda and there's a Jay-Z song on there? What are we going to do then? And I was like, we still rocking with this dude? We still doing this? We not sending a message yet? And I, obviously, I don't know him. I don't know because, you know, Talib and Yasin and Dave and a lot of people that whose art I respect and based on what I've heard them say and do publicly, I respect them as people, as men, as women, you know, as artists. And a lot of these people aren't ready to, you know, kind of, I don't know, pass the kind of judgment it sounds like I'm ready to pass on Kanye. So maybe they know something, obviously, that I don't know. They have a closer connection with him. Maybe they understand some of his, I don't know, maybe they understand something I don't know clearly. And I would like to understand too. Because I want to listen to the album with impunity, but I can't do it. It would be a character judgment on myself if I rock with this nigga. I can't. With that said, I want to thank y'all for listening. If you made it this far, you are the real MVP. Usual calls to action. If you're trying to get your fitness right, if you're trying to get your nutrition right, you know, get yourself together in the, I don't know, whatever. If you're trying to do those kind of things, I'm fucked up right now. Holla at Zaya Fitness on Instagram. Z-A-Y-A-H Fitness on Instagram. That's the homie. He can get you where you need to be. Super dope. If you're looking for ways to be impactful, if you want to be a part of the discussion, if you want to help, you know, be your brother's keeper. All of it. No, don't do it. If you were looking to do those kind of things, ttcharities.org. Please hit up the website and see what they got going on. Donate what you can. Time, money, books, clothes, a like, a repost, a retweet. It all goes a long way. Great organization. They're trying to do good things. If you want to rock with me, if you want to help Elise go to Disney World or get some more Nancy books, hit up the What Is TWS merch store. whatistws.com/store. Yeah, it's still the sum of the algorithm. So the coupon code algorithm will get you 20% off your entire order. I'm dropping new shirts in there all the time. I think they dope. I had a couple people come to my tea party the other day, which I actually did throw. Not a couple. One person showed up in What Is TWS shirt, but that was dope. It's my man. Fucks with him. But yeah, hit up the store. You can be like him too. And I think I'm going to do that every month. So if you're in the Austin area and you want to have some iced tea with me, I don't know. Hit me up on social media and maybe we can work something out. But that's my new thing. I'm big into it. But with that said, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. If this is my last episode, which is what I say after every episode, I love y'all. I appreciate the 211 that came before this one. But until we speak again, be safe, be the light, and be easy. Love y'all.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. Gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later. Love.